Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is an Apostrophe podcast production.
As we regret to inform you, the Rejection Podcast.
Early on, I remember one of the musical directors telling me that everything about me was too big. My voice, my size, and my personality. Jennifer Hudson. Growing up, the Hudson family didn't just preach to the choir. They were the choir. Jennifer Hudson's great uncle was the pastor at their local Baptist church in Chicago. Her mother was the church secretary, her godmother was a singer, and her grandma was a soloist. When Hudson was a baby, she would sit on her grandmother's lap in the choir loft, and when the soprano section hit a high note, two-year-old Hudson would match pitch perfectly. And her family said, "This baby's gonna sing." Hudson believes her voice was a precious jewel passed down from her grandmother, a grandmother who performed over 100 solos. Going over to grandma's meant high ceilings and hardwood floors, acoustics that mimicked a microphone. So Hudson would sit at the foot of the stairs and sing her heart out. And by age 7, Hudson was an official member of the church choir. Music touched every corner of Hudson's life. At home, her mother could be heard belting "The Temptations" the way you do the things you do. At school, Hudson starred in musicals. On Saturdays, she performed at baptisms and funerals. Sundays, she sang her hymns. By age 11 or 12, people started telling her she had the voice of a grown woman. She realized that if she, the singer, couldn't feel the song, she couldn't expect anyone else to. So she started delving into the meanings of ballads, of hymns, of scripture. And soon, people started coming from all over Chicago to hear her sing. But in spite of all those opportunities to practice her gift, Hudson wasn't particularly confident. She said she used to beg for a solo, then when she inevitably got it, become suddenly paralyzed with fear. Sometimes she just wouldn't show up to Sunday Mass out of sheer anxiety. She says it wouldn't be until she turned 19 years old that she opened her eyes mid-song for the first time. When Hudson graduated high school in 1999, she started entering local talent shows and winning. $1,000 here, $2,000 there, a lot of money for a teenager. She heard about an open audition, backup vocals for one Barry Manilow. The call was for singers who could dance, too. Hudson wasn't much of a dancer, but at age 19, she found herself standing in front of a group of industry folk and Manilow himself. She performed a gospel tune called Silver and Gold, and she knew it went well. When she finished, everyone, including Manilow, was, quote, crazy excited. They started picking up anything they could find and tossing it at her feet, like roses after a first-place figure skating performance. She went back out into the hallway, where she heard the other hopefuls whispering about how much they did not want to follow Hudson. What's the point? She stood in that hallway waiting for one of the casting folks to come out and tell her when she would start. But instead, someone emerged and said, thanks, but she wasn't what they were looking for. Hudson was stunned. What happened between leaving the booth and stepping into the hall? Not 5 minutes earlier, she was showered with paperclips and praise. But it wasn't long before she realized she didn't get the job because of her size. At 19, Hudson weighed 236 pounds, and that rejection would prompt several years of restricting, binging, and shame. Hudson was accepted at Kennedy King College in Chicago to study music. There, she started auditioning for local theaters. And before she knew it, she'd landed her first real part in a production of Big River, 45 minutes outside Chicago. It paid $425 a week. Hudson thought, this was the life. Then she came across an ad in the newspaper. Disney was looking for singers. Hudson wasn't sure how to interpret the ad. Singers for what exactly? Disneyland? A Disney movie? But she had a brand new dress and nowhere to wear it. So she slid it on and made her way to the audition. She would sing I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. And they only had one question. Do you like to travel? The 22-year-old hadn't done much traveling in her life, but before she knew it, she was at Port Canaveral in Florida, boarding an 8-month Disney Wonder Cruise where she'd perform musical theater for passengers. She said Disney didn't have the same hang-ups about weight she'd experienced in the past. The casting director told her they loved her so much, they would have hired her no matter what she looked like. Cruise ship training would include overboard drills, traditional Disney etiquette, rehearsals, and choreography. When the passengers boarded, she would perform Hercules the Musical and songs from The Lion King. A fellow performer said of Hudson's time on the cruise ship that her rendition of The Circle of Life stopped the show. And he told her if she wanted to advance her career, she should really get those pipes in front of more people. Say, on television. Hudson would pour her heart out to tipsy tourists night after night for 8 straight months. She said they were the best audience, in a great mood every night. They were on vacation. But when it came time to renew her contract, Hudson elected to return to terra firma. She would take her friend's advice and audition for American Idol. American Idol's season 3 auditions were to be held in Atlanta, Georgia, only 2 days after the Wonder Cruise docked. 2 years prior, Kelly Clarkson had won season 1 and subsequently released her debut album, Thankful, then her second album, Breakaway, the following year, to the tune of 10 million albums sold and multi-platinum status. Reuben Studdard defeated Clay Aiken to take home the trophy in the season 2 finale, which drew nearly 40 million viewers. Now, competition was fierce for season 3. Hudson nervously stepped into the audition room, where judges Randy Jackson, Paula Abdul, and Simon Cowell sat behind a long glass table. And Jackson said, "You just finished work on a Disney cruise ship. We're going to expect something better than a cruise ship performance from you today." Hudson chose "Share Your Love With Me" by Aretha Franklin. She took a breath and began to sing. But before she finished her song, Randy Jackson raised his hand, motioning for her to stop. And within only a second, he told her she was brilliant. Brilliant. The best singer he'd heard so far. It was an emphatic yes from Randy, a yes from Paula, and a yes from the notoriously tough Simon Cowell. And Cowell said, "See you in Hollywood." The Hollywood audition saw 117 contestants. With each round, 30 contestants were cut, then another 30, then 25 more. And Hudson remained steady. She'd made it to the top 32. The next round of eliminations would solidify the top 12. That week, she'd sing John Lennon's Imagine. But Hudson's performance left something to be desired. And she was eliminated. It was all over. But a few weeks later was Wild Card Week, where certain eliminated contestants are brought back for a second chance. Hudson was one of them, invited to sing one last song to reclaim a spot in the competition. 8 contestants would sing for their lives. Of those 8, 4 would be saved. 1 by each of the 3 judges, 1 by audience vote. Hudson would sing "I Believe in You and Me" by the Four Tops. And after her performance, Randy Jackson said, "It was a tough decision, against all odds, but his choice of the 8 hopeful wildcards before him was Jennifer Hudson. She was back in." In the top 12 round, Hudson sang Aretha Franklin's Baby, I Love You. That performance landed her in the bottom 2 for that week, but she earned enough votes to continue to the top 11. By the top 10, Hudson once again found herself in the bottom 2, but she persevered. The week of top 9, Hudson would sing her showstopper, Circle of Life, from The Lion King, a song she'd performed countless times on the Wonder Cruise. She nailed it. She said, in a way, the cruise was an excellent crash course in show business work ethic. Every day she had to learn a new performance, new choreography, and there were no days off. But between performance weeks on Idol, the contestants would receive coaching from musical directors. And Hudson recalls one telling her everything about her was too big. Her voice, her size, her personality. But Hudson pushed back, saying, "Isn't that what being a star is all about? Stars are larger than life." become the top eight, she would sing I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston from The Bodyguard. That week, she'd earn the most votes of every contestant in the top eight, keeping her more than safe one more week. Then came the top seven. That week was Barry Manilow week, where Manilow would act as guest coach for the contestants. Hudson was nervous. Barry Manilow had already rejected her once. But interestingly, when they met again, he remembered her, which she took as a good sign. The legend coached Hudson for a performance of his hit song, Weekend in New England. But she'd sing it with a twist. She'd perform an arrangement in the style of the song, And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going, from the Broadway musical, Dreamgirls. But Hudson's performance fell short. She found herself in the bottom two, along with fellow contestant Fantasia Barrino. And host Ryan Seacrest announced, the contestant with the least number of votes that week was Jennifer Hudson. From the most votes to the least in the span of 1 week, Hudson was eliminated from American Idol. Her dreams were shattered. Fans of the show were outraged at Hudson's elimination, but Simon Cowell responded with a statement, saying his gut feeling was that Jennifer Hudson was not the next American Idol, adding he didn't think she was the best singer. This time, there would be no wild card, no third chance. Fantasia Barrino would move forward, all the way to the finals, where she would be crowned Season 3's American Idol. Jennifer Hudson moved back to Florida. We'll be right back. Hey, did you know Apostrophe has a YouTube channel? You can listen to We Regret to Inform You and Under the Influence anytime. Just tap the link in this episode's description.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Following Idol, Hudson performed at charity events. She recorded a few songs of her own, but she says for the most part, she fell off the radar. One day she heard about an audition in Los Angeles for Rent. The Tony Award-winning 90s musical by Jonathan Larson was being adapted into a movie. So she flew to California. It was her first Hollywood audition. She performed a scene for the casting people, and she said they gave her no notes, which on the surface sounded like a good thing, a great thing, nothing to improve upon. But she'd quickly learn that when casting directors don't give you feedback, it's usually a bad sign. It means they aren't invested in you. They don't want you to come back. On closer inspection, Hudson said the audition was so bad. But she'd take that newfound knowledge into the next one. Then, in the summer of 2005, it was announced another Broadway musical was being adapted into a motion picture. The 1980s smash hit, Dreamgirls. Dreamgirls was one of the most dazzling musicals of the 80s. After its opening night, the New York Times wrote, "When Broadway history is being made, you can feel it. What you feel is a seismic emotional jolt that sends the audience, as one, right out of its wits. Broadway history was made at the end of the first act of Michael Bennett's beautiful and heartbreaking new musical, Dreamgirls." Dreamgirls tells the story of an all-girl black singing trio from Detroit in the 60s called the Dreamettes. The powerhouse lead singer Effie, the beautiful Dina, and the eager Laurel. But as their careers begin to take off, the Dreamettes' demanding manager makes changes to ensure their mass appeal to the pop market. Egos are bruised, tempers flare, and hearts are broken in pursuit of stardom in a white, male-dominated industry. The show, based on the stories of the Supremes and the Shirelles, among others of that era, would run for 1,521 performances to sweeping public and critical acclaim. By 2005, audiences hadn't seen the play for 20 years. The pressure was on DreamWorks and Paramount to cast the three leading ladies. It was announced the trio's gorgeous and celestial-bound lead, Dina, based on Diana Ross, would be played by none other than Beyoncé Knowles. Beyoncé was fresh off her debut solo album, Dangerously in Love, which would debut number one on the Billboard 200 and go 6 times platinum. Now she was set to make her on-screen breakthrough. The next question became, who would play Effie White? The role of Effie was said to be based on Supremes member Florence Ballard. Effie's tough. She's uber-talented, and yet she's replaced as lead of the group for the thinner, more conventionally beautiful Dina, cast aside because a full-figured woman didn't fit the group's image, and eventually dismissed from the group altogether. As word spread that casting had begun for Dreamgirls the movie, a name started popping up in the Broadway blogosphere. Jennifer Hudson. You see, American Idol viewers remembered her performance of Weekend in New England, done in the style of Effie White. And people started wondering, whatever happened to Miss Hudson? Well, Hudson didn't have a manager or an agent. So those in the know managed to track down her cousin, a publicist by the same last name. And that's how Hudson found out about the burgeoning campaign for her audition. She was thrilled. The Broadway show came out the year she was born, but she was well aware of its impact. So Hudson made her way to New York. She'd learned the casting directors were conducting a worldwide search, testing 783 women for the role of Effie, including every talented black singer on Broadway. But that's not all. Fantasia Barrino was up for the role, the very singer who'd beat Hudson for the title of American Idol. There would be multiple auditions, if you're lucky. The first would weed out any unserious or unqualified candidates right out of the gate. Hudson decided to perform the song Easy to Be Hard from the musical Hair. It went well. They told her if she didn't hear by July, she didn't get the part. It was April, a long, long wait. By May, she'd heard nothing. By June, she'd heard nothing. By July, nothing. She figured they'd crossed her name firmly off the Effie list. She was devastated thinking anyone else would play that part. Then, on July 31st, she got the call. She needed to fly to Los Angeles for a second audition. Oh, and this time, the requirement was to sing Effie's iconic solo, the film's torch song, And I Am Telling You, I'm Not Going. Hudson was given the sheet music she needed to prepare, the first half of the song. But when she arrived at the audition, she overheard the actress in the audition before her performing the entire song. Hudson panicked. She must have only received half the sheet music by mistake. She didn't know the rest well enough to go off book. But she decided to go in and do it anyway. If she'd learned anything from American Idol, it was that making excuses got you nowhere. So she faked it till she made it. But it went horribly. She blew the audition. Unlike Effie White, she was going home. Then Hudson got word from the casting people. Turns out, the casting team realized their mistake, that they'd sent her only partial sheet music, and in spite of her botched audition, they saw something in Hudson. So they invited her back for a screen test. On her trip back to Los Angeles, Hudson says she spent the entire 6-hour flight singing to herself. She didn't care how many glares she got. Screen tests were usually the final step. She would not fumble her last chance. Hudson says the casting people couldn't decide how they felt about her. One minute, she was the best they'd seen. The next, they told her they were going in a different direction. But she performed the song in its entirety, over and over, for hours on end. This time in full 60s glam. Then they told her, sorry, but she didn't get the part. Hudson called her mom, and her mom said all the mom things, that she'd done her best, that she did all she could do. But Hudson says she couldn't accept it. She wouldn't accept it. In so many ways, Hudson was Effie White. Her weight had overshadowed her talent at every turn. She knew exactly how it felt to be cast aside for her looks. She said this role was practically her life. She had to play this part. Hudson told her mom they could cast somebody else, but in the end, they were still going to have to come back to her. She said it wasn't arrogance, it was faith. Nearly 6 months had lapsed since her first audition. Then her phone rang. It was Bill Condon, screenwriter and director of Dreamgirls. And he said, "Jennifer Hudson, you're our Effie White." He told her she was the only person he saw that gave him chills, that really made him feel something. Hudson fell to her knees and cried. The cast list was complete. Beyoncé as Dina, Anika Noni Rose as Laurel, Jamie Foxx as Curtis Taylor Jr., based on Motown founder Berry Gordy Jr., Eddie Murphy as the James Brown character Jimmy Early, and Jennifer Hudson as Effie White. Hudson was a huge Destiny's Child fan, and one day in the studio, as the Dreamettes began recording their signature tracks, Beyoncé turned to Hudson and said, "You do realize no one gets a start like this." Hudson was filming her very first movie with Oscar-winning actors, with Grammy-winning singers. Jamie Foxx was fresh off his Academy Award for the Ray Charles biopic Ray. Unless you were a fan of American Idol around that time, the name Jennifer Hudson would have meant nothing to you. And even if you are a fan of American Idol, do you often remember the names of contestants who come seventh place? But Effie White was no small part. Effie White was the heart of the movie, the powerhouse voice, the singer of soul ballads like One Night Only and, of course, And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going, songs that won playwright and lyricist Tom Ion the Tony Award for Best Book of a Musical for Dreamgirls back in 1981. But as filming progressed, Jamie Foxx sat Hudson down one day and said, "You know you're going to get an Oscar nod for this." Hudson was gobsmacked. She thought she was but a mere speck among a glittering constellation of stars. Foxx would later tell the rest of the cast and crew, "Hudson is going to win an Oscar, and the craziest thing is she has no clue." When the trailer for Dreamgirls was released, Jennifer Hudson's And I Am Telling You played as the star-studded cast's names appeared in neon lights. Jamie Foxx, Beyoncé, Eddie Murphy. But Jennifer Hudson wasn't included. Her name wouldn't appear in the opening credits either. But at the film's premiere, the audience erupted into spontaneous applause after Hudson's heart-stopping ballad. And The Guardian wrote, "Beyoncé is an entrancing presence, but the movie's big discovery is Jennifer Hudson, as honest, uncompromising Effie. She's marvelous, yet her name appears in small, almost illegible print on the posters." Then it was announced, Dreamgirls was nominated for 8 Academy Awards. Best Art Direction, Costume Design, Sound Mixing, Best Original Song 3 times over, Best Supporting Actor for Eddie Murphy, and Best Supporting Actress for Jennifer Hudson. Come the 79th Annual Academy Awards that February, Hudson was up against Abigail Breslin for Little Miss Sunshine, Adriana Barraza for Babel, Rinko Kikuchi also for Babel, and Cate Blanchett for Notes on a Scandal. Hudson had never even watched the Oscars before, and here she was, sitting front row. George Clooney read the list of Best Supporting Actress nominees, and he opened the envelope. Best Supporting Actress goes to Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls. As Hudson walked up the stairs to the stage at the storied Kodak Theater, the announcer said to the crowd, "Jennifer Hudson's road to the Oscar began at a small church in Chicago where she sang solos in the gospel choir." Clooney handed the 26-year-old her golden statue, and an emotional Hudson thanked her late grandmother, her biggest inspiration, who had the passion and the voice, but never got the chance. And the brand new actress, who had never so much as stepped onto a set before in her life, who was rejected as a backup singer for her size, kicked off American Idol not once, but twice, and was told everything about her was too big, her voice, her body, and her personality, would go on to win the Golden Globe, the Critics' Choice Award, the BAFTA, the SAG, and the Sammy Davis Jr. Award for Entertainer of the Year. To quote Effie White, "You stopped me once, but you'll never stop me again. 'Cause this time, Effie's gonna win."
In the world of Hollywood, Jennifer Hudson had everything going against her. She didn't have an agent, she didn't have a manager, she didn't have connections, she had anxiety, and she struggled with her weight in an image-obsessed industry. Those are a lot of hills to climb. When you get a shot at a big opportunity, those hills become Mount Everest. They block the view, the climb is treacherous. They put towering obstacles between you and your goal. We all face mountains when reaching for a big opportunity. We're told, you have the talent, but not the look. You have the look, but not the talent. Your idea is interesting, but it's the wrong time. The timing is right, but the idea is wrong. Here's the thing. You may fail out of the gate, but sometimes the universe gives you a second chance. Jennifer Hudson failed the first time on American Idol. Then she was given a second chance. She failed her audition for Dreamgirls, but they gave her another chance. When Hudson was granted those second chances, she seized them. She grabbed them with all her heart and rose to the second occasion. That is never easy, because second chances only come after punishing rejections. When your self-esteem is at an all-time low and your vulnerability is at an all-time high. But what separates the winners from everyone else in the world is the fact they pick themselves up off the floor, they plant their feet, and sing like they've never sung before. Jennifer Hudson would go on to win an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, making her only the 17th entertainer of all time to achieve the prestigious EGOT status. Rejections aren't the end of the road. As Hudson once said, "I'll be back. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I'll sing my way to it." Never, ever give up.
Jennifer Hudson, Emmy, 2001, Grammys, 2009 and 2017, Oscar, 2007, Tony, 2023.
The Rejection Podcast is an Apostrophe Podcast production and is recorded in our Airstream mobile recording studio. This series is hosted and written by me, Sydney O'Reilly. Research, Allison Pinches. We don't regret to inform you, our director is Callie O'Reilly. Engineer, Jeff Devine. Producer, Debbie O'Reilly. Theme music by Ian Lefevre and Ari Posner. Tunes provided by APM Music. And we're powered by Acast. The major sources for this episode are listed in the show notes on our website, apostrophepodcasts.ca/rejection. You can follow our network on social at ApostropheePod for behind-the-scenes content, to learn more about our other shows, and to tell us who you'd like us to reject next. This series is executive produced by Terry O'Reilly. See you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.